The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Filling in for AME President Dan Levler, here's your host, AME's Chief of Staff, Ryan McGarry.
Good morning to our listeners. I'm AME Chief of Staff Ryan McGarry, filling in for President Dan Levler this morning. With us today is Ryan Stanton, the Executive Director of the Long Island Federation of Labor. Ryan, good morning, and thank you once again for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you once again for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I know this is the third time you've been on the show, first time with me as host, so I'm excited. And just looking at back at our notes and the last show you did, it was just about a year ago this weekend, and at that time you had just recently become Executive Director of the Long Island Federation of Labor. Now you've been there for a year and almost a year and a half. Just wondering, how does it feel, and how do you feel you've grown into the role representing over 250,000 working people on Long Island? How do you feel you've been doing? What is the role, and how has the year been?
So I don't know how I've been doing. I'll leave that up to our board, our affiliates, and their members to render judgment. But I know that at the end of the week, I showed up and my keys still worked. So anytime that happens,
it's a good sign.
Yeah, anytime that happens, I'm excited to keep doing what I'm doing as long as I have the faith and support of our board, our affiliates, and our members. I really believe in the union movement, what we do, what we represent. And so really, it's just a privilege and a pleasure to be the executive director at the Federation.
Excellent. And for our listeners who might not be that familiar, because we are proud to be broadcasting across Long Island, who is the Federation and who are your affiliates? Who are the members that you represent?
Long Island Federation of Labor is exactly what it sounds like. It's a federation of organizations that represent union members. I think everybody on Long Island is at least familiar with what a union member is. So union members collectively join together in the workplace and speak up for, you know, how they'd like to see their workplace change, whether it's wages, benefits, working conditions, health and safety standards. So all of those concerns are elevated within their organizations. They elect leadership to represent them through democratic processes governed by law. And it's those leaders that come together and shape the direction of the Federation of Labor. So working people's issues are our issues. It's a ground-up movement of working people across Long Island. As you mentioned, we are a federation of 250,000 people, 250,000 Long Islanders. So even if you're not a union member, chances are, if you live on Long Island, your spouse, your brother, sister, mother, or a member of one of our affiliate organizations, and just know that, you know, we wake up each and every day trying to make your lives better, to make sure that you can afford to live here, stay here, raise a family here, and keep Long Island the wonderful place that it is.
No, I couldn't have said it any better, which is why you're the guest and why you're the executive director of the Federation of Labor. But 100%, you know, us at AME, we're proud to represent the civilian workforce of the county, nearly 10,000 members. These are members who provide essential, invaluable services to the residents of Suffolk County. And as you said, they are entitled to have that representation and make sure they're being kept safe on the job and also being fairly compensated for the work they do. And then for the general public, there's so many union members here, proud union members on Long Island. We're your friends, your neighbors, your family members. And if you're not one yourself, you certainly know and love somebody who is. So
probably Ryan, many.
Probably many. Absolutely.
And I'll just jump in, if I may. There's one word that you used just now that I'm going to say is a little bit of a trigger word, but that doesn't really quite do justice to the emotion it evokes is the word essential. For years, folks in the wake of the pandemic deemed workers essential, and they came to understand and know what I think you and I have always known throughout our careers, that it is working people that keep society moving, that keep the essential functions of our communities moving along, whether it's buying groceries or delivering children off to school to get an education, the people providing that education, or the members of AME delivering those public services right through the Department of Health. And so anytime I hear that word essential, I just like to remind folks that everyone understood that workers are essential, and we shouldn't forget that, because a lot of folks went from essential to expendable, and that's just unacceptable. I know you don't think that, and I know I don't think that, but certainly important to remind the listeners.
No, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because I couldn't agree more, obviously, and you know, I don't want this to be an echo chamber of an interview. We have some important matters to discuss, but you're 100% right. The pandemic shut everything down, changed our perspectives as a collective, our approach to everyday life. And it seems when reopening happened, we moved back to quote unquote normal so quickly that we sometimes forget the degree to which our perspective had been changed on what makes an essential worker. We all knew that with eyes wide open during the pandemic, when we needed to get groceries or when we needed government services or when we needed healthcare. We all knew what essential and vital meant. And then as our lives return to, again, quote unquote, normal, and we get distracted with our own jobs and our own families, we forget that all work is essential and all work has value. And that's why we're so grateful for folks like you, President Leveler, President John Durso, who are doing a great job representing working men and women. One of the main things we brought you in today to discuss is something that's near and dear to our heart, just like labor, and that is sewer infrastructure. Just very quickly, what is the Suffolk County Water Quality Restoration Act as you see it? And, of course, we're going to get into the specifics of where it stands.
It's a policy proposal, and we talked about this just about a year ago, so unfortunately we didn't get it done, but we're back at it. We're hopeful and putting the effort in to get it done this year. It's a policy proposal that gives voters of Suffolk County the opportunity to invest in clean water, right? Ancient Rome figured out sewers, and yet 380,000 homes in Suffolk County lack the wastewater infrastructure necessary to treat our sewage. There's no clean way to say that, pun intended. And the Water Quality Restoration Act just simply puts a question to the voters: would you like to invest in wastewater infrastructure? It's a science-driven approach. I'm sure we'll get into detail, but it's a very simple question in my mind. It's a no-brainer.
Excellent. Yeah, we'll definitely get into more specifics, but you hit the main issue right on the head. Clean water, clean water, clean water. That's really what it comes down to. And again, before that, we get into the specifics of the act and what we as labor and other stakeholders, including environmental groups, elected leaders, even the business community, before we get into that on what we're trying to do with the Water Quality Restoration Act, just sewers in general, why are they so important? Clean water, of course, at the top of that list, but what other benefits do they bring in the short and the long term to our region and the people who live here?
Yeah, I would, I'll answer that question, and I'll posit sort of an addendum to it. If you're a listener, you're like, what are these trade union guys talking about? Why do they care so much about clean water? And I would just say, we're an island that juts out into the Atlantic Ocean. That also draws our drinking water from beneath our feet. So not only is our economy dependent upon clean water because we are an island that juts out into the Atlantic Ocean, but we are a sole source aquifer is what we draw our drinking water from. So without clean water, we have no future. And without wastewater infrastructure, we don't have clean water. And it's really that simple. There's a lot of other added benefits. I think when we make investments in public infrastructure, everyone probably knows, and if they don't, I'll tell them. We put people to work. We put people to work through good union construction jobs. We put infrastructure on the ground to support small businesses in downtowns. I live in Sayville. You grew up in Sayville. There are restaurants in Sayville that have to serve on paper plates and baskets, and you cannot charge a certain price for a meal when it's served on a paper plate or a basket. And so it limits the earning potential for that restaurant owner. It limits their ability to generate revenue, to pay their staff good quality wages. So it really has this ripple effect on the economy in our downtown communities. So those are just some of the reasons why it makes perfect sense for a couple trade unionists to care very much about the Water Quality Restoration Act.
No, 100% care indeed. As you mentioned, growing up in Sayville, I know the struggles that some of the newer restaurants are going through that you're referencing. And then where I currently am in Patchogue, which is usually the example of revitalization and the success of restaurants, that's not possible without Patchogue Sewer District. So when people look to successful revitalization, always at the heart of that is a sewer district. Other things I just want to touch on, obviously clean water for our health, but as you mentioned, our industries, right? Our heritage industries of fishing and clamming, all related to clean water and sewer infrastructure. We have storm resiliencies. Our coastlines are better protected in the event of a hurricane or storm surges because of sewer infrastructure. We put people to work, as you said, and you know this is the fundamental purpose of government, in my opinion, is to provide the infrastructure and the skeletal system, in a sense, for a thriving free economy to succeed. So in the short term, we're putting people to work, trade unionists to work on the construction of these projects. But in the long term, those folks are keeping the money here by spending it with their families, going out to local restaurants, buying kids new clothes for school. That money stays here locally. It gets multiplied as it filters through the economy. And then long term now, we have the infrastructure in place for entrepreneurs and investors to put new investments, new money into the economy for years and decades to come. So, yes, that's in a nutshell, I think, why labor is so behind sewer infrastructure.
Did we mention it provides clean water?
Clean water, clean water, clean water. Absolutely. Now, getting back to the Water Quality Restoration Act, it was included in the governor's budget proposal last year. It's included again this year. Where does it currently stand? Where are we in Albany? And what needs to get done?
We are very fortunate to have the support of Governor Hochul putting language in here that ultimately, if we're successful, will give the voters of Suffolk County an opportunity to make a decision on whether or not they want to invest in clean water. Just from a government process standpoint, local legislators, many of whom have voiced support for wastewater infrastructure for a whole host of reasons, clean water, good jobs, support for their communities, have indicated support for this proposal, and they would have to pass a local law. And once that local law is passed, voters would go to the polls and decide whether or not they want to continue to have clean water in Suffolk County, to continue to support our economy, and to put people to work. And it's, as far as I can tell, it's that simple.
Very good. And then I know we talked about it very briefly earlier, but the stakeholders, it's not just labor and elected officials. Who else are the stakeholders who are behind this initiative?
Environmentalists, local business, local contractors. We've already talked about all the ways in which this touches our lives. You know, we started this conversation in part centering around the word essential. This is an essential service, as you point out, that government is meant to provide. And so we have Suffolk County, the lead agency, local government that would be responsible for making this a reality, in full support and trying to make this a reality. Stakeholders, we've already touched on, obviously, Suffolk County AME, the Long Island Federation of Labor, and all of our affiliates, the Long Island Contractors Association, environmental organizations, small business groups. I know that there's not only individual businesses, but chambers that support it. And so I'm sort of rambling on a list of stakeholders, but really what I'm trying to drive home to the listeners is this is an issue that cuts across sectors, it cuts across communities, and I said it before, I'll say it again. To me, this is just a no-brainer.
You're 100% right, Ryan. These are stakeholders who are coming together for a common purpose, and you can tell that this common purpose, as you said, cuts across so many different lines because you were mentioning groups that sometimes are at odds with one another, and here they're working together for a shared goal, a shared purpose. And one of the beautiful things I find about this purpose, Water Quality Restoration Act, is that nobody is trying to force anything onto the people of Suffolk County. Ultimately, all we're asking is to give the residents of Suffolk County the opportunity to make a decision about their water, their quality, and their infrastructure themselves. Is that correct? And if so, how?
Yeah, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? A phrase our country was founded on. Let's just give the voters the ability to decide their future. And that's what this policy proposal is all about. So if it goes through the process we outlined earlier in this discussion and gets to the stage where voters can use their voice and make it clear to elected officials, this is important to us. And they have time and again, historically on Long Island, passed environmental-related initiatives that made clear the residents of Suffolk County understand why this is so important. So our argument all along has just been give them that chance. Give them the venue and the opportunity to make clear. Don't decide for them and don't take it away from them. Let them have the opportunity to use their voice and make decisions about their future. And that's what this is all about.
Give the voters the choice to make their own decisions about their own region.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Go figure.
That'd be great. For our listeners this morning, our guest is Ryan Stanton, Executive Director of the Long Island Federation of Labor. I'm Ryan McGarry, Chief of Staff for AME, filling in for President Dan Loeffler this morning. We've been talking about sewer infrastructure, water quality, clean water, and what it means to the region. But moving ahead, Ryan, we've been talking about Albany, but here in Hauppauge and in the county, I know the Federation of Labor is very focused on a change to the hotel-motel tax line. What's going on there? Why is this a priority for you guys?
New York State, at the request of Suffolk County last year, made some changes to our hotel-motel tax. And when folks hear hotel-motel tax, and any time you use the word tax on Long Island, you know, folks' ears perk up a little bit because they know what it costs to live here and the impact that that has on their lives. And I think you would agree we have the best services possible, I would argue, anywhere in the country. You know, when I graduated from college, I met my wife not long thereafter, and we talked about, you know, do we want to move, do we not want to move? And we ultimately decided to set up roots here, and we're in it for the long haul. And everybody talks about our youth are fleeing, our youth are leaving the region, and that we need to reduce the tax burden on those that live here. Well, for anyone willing to listen and have an honest conversation, the hotel-motel tax does that. It is an occupancy fee for anyone that's coming to visit our region. It stays at a hotel and a motel. And for those that don't know, you pay this hotel-motel tax anywhere you go when you stay in a hotel, often in some places when you stay in an Airbnb, and you pay a significantly higher percentage than what we have charged historically in Suffolk County. So last year, the county said, we're leaving money on the table. This is a tool we have in the toolbox to alleviate the burden on our residents. And so just recently, the legislature, just the way the process works, had to take action to adopt the changes that the state legislature passed and the governor signed and approved. We were there before the legislature to make this argument and talk about why it benefits the residents and why it's important for the revenue generated from that to promote our region. It becomes a self-fulfilling economic engine where we invest in promotion of our region, which, by the way, is heavily reliant on clean water. And we get an increased number of visitors, and those visitors pay more hotel-motel tax. And it keeps the economic engine humming along.
No, 100%. Couldn't agree with you more. When we promote our region, more visitors come. When more visitors come, it's less of a direct burden on our local homeowners, property owners, and taxpayers. It's the visitors who are using our resources, paying their fair share, and also helping to subsidize and keep the tax burden low for people who actually live here all year round. You know, I just think every summer, everyone sees the Sunrise Highway and the Long Island Expressway getting backed up with cars, visitors coming to our area. That's a burden on our roads. It's a burden on the parks that they visit. It's a burden on the water quality and the sewer systems that they utilize while they're here. It's only fair that we put some of that burden back onto them who are using our spaces and visiting our area. Other than the funding from this revenue stream going to promote Long Island as a destination, again, tourism being one of our main economic industries here on Long Island, funding is used for some other things as well, including being put back into Suffolk County parks, investing in cultural programs and local museums. It supports the Suffolk County General Fund, and now a new fund would be created called an infrastructure fund through this revenue stream as well. So just wondering, in your mind, what are some of the projects that can come out of this infrastructure line? Why is labor supportive of these kind of tweaks to where this revenue gets used?
The Suffolk County Infrastructure Fund details in the county resolution that this revenue could be used for community impact projects. It can be used for a hotel and convention center that's been proposed, studied, and we've taken a number of steps along the way to make that a reality, creating a local development corporation. The project goes by the name of Midway Crossing, and I'm talking about that project specifically because in setting up the Suffolk County Infrastructure Fund, it creates the certainty that the public and local governments, in this instance, Suffolk County and the town of Islip, mean business. And it creates certainty for the private market and private equity to make the investment in that project. And making the investment in that project and making that a reality is transformational, and it's a game changer for the region. As proposed, it's just shy of $3 billion. It's going to be executed with a project labor agreement, which for those that aren't familiar with what a project labor agreement means, it just means that union workers are going to go to work. It doesn't dictate who the contractor is going to be or anything like that. It just ensures that local jobs are going to go to local people and that they're going to earn a good wage and a decent living if this project were to become a reality. But it's difficult for private equity and the financial industry to make investments in places that don't have the infrastructure to support those investments. You know, we already talked about wastewater infrastructure, so it will come as no shock to the listeners that at the Midway Crossing site, there is no utility infrastructure to support a $3 billion investment. It will add a north terminal to the MacArthur Airport. So between the addition of a north terminal, the investment in the Long Island Railroad's second track project and third track project, and Grand Central Madison, which I'm sure is a pain point for some listeners at the moment, but ultimately is going to mean a lot for our region over time as we make this necessary schedule changes. We're able to leverage all of those investments that have already taken place by developing at Midway. It's the junction between the MacArthur Airport and the Ronkonkoma Railroad. It's a hop, skip, and a jump from Brookhaven National Labs. It's not far from Stony Brook University, a flagship university that's one of two finalists in a global competition and winnowed down from a list of 14. It's not far from Cold Spring Harbor, where DNA was invented. Right? I think people forget the amazing things that Long Island has done. And I touch on the research institutions I touch on because Midway Crossing has a focus on the life sciences, and we know that further investment in research and life sciences is so wildly necessary. We just went through a global pandemic. We were reliant on vaccines to get us back to normal. Those vaccines were reliant on the research institutions that conducted research over a period of years that ultimately led to private industry, leveraging that research, creating vaccines to bring us back to a level of normalcy that allows us to live our lives. So I just threw a lot out there, but hotel motel tax, right, because that's where we started, provides certainty for government to invest in the infrastructure necessary so that capitalism can function.
And that's it. That's the bottom line. I know you said a lot, but that last sentence is everything, right? And that's the role government should be playing, again, with infrastructure investment. Before we were talking about water quality infrastructure. Here now we're talking more transportation infrastructure and the ability to move goods, services, labor, visitors freely around an economy is the heart of capitalism. And we are just asking for a mechanism to allow that private sector economy to thrive. And labor is fighting to make sure that that funding stream comes from external sources rather than homegrown Suffolk County taxpayers. So again, our guest this morning is Ryan Stanton, Executive Director of the Long Island Federation of Labor, talking about infrastructure programs, talking about the way organized labor represents the essential and vital workers throughout the region, and our collective efforts to look out for the general public here in Suffolk County by trying to keep the tax burden low, providing those vital services, and fighting for shared interests that we all have a stake in. And lastly, Ryan, before we let you go, we want to talk about something a little bit more fun, and that is the upcoming May Day Music Festival, which the Federation of Labor has partnered with AME on in the past. And this is our way of introducing the general public to who we are as a labor community. We are your friends, your family, your neighbors. We like to go out and have a great day with our families, live music, craft beer, festival atmosphere. And this is an invitation for the general public to come out for a great day, union or non-union, have fun, listen to some world-class bands, and feel good about it, because at the end of the day, it's a wholly nonprofit endeavor with all proceeds going to benefit local charities, whether it's local scholarship programs run by you or AME, or to Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Food Bank, where working people can help put food on our neighbor's table. We're there for our neighbors and friends and families in need. So, Ryan, just a little bit about your perspective on the May Day Music Festival. Again, thank you for your continued support. Why do you find it important to continue to partner with us on this endeavor?
It's an amazing initiative that reminds all of our neighbors, that 250,000 people I talked about, the union members that some would call a special interest. We're not a special interest, we're your neighbors. And the May Day Festival is an amazing opportunity for folks to maybe connect those two things.
No, 100%. And what I'm really excited about, it is a music festival, right? So, and we are on a radio station right now. People are usually tuned in listening to music. Instead of this morning, they're listening to us. But two stages of live music. This year's headliners are going to be, you know, very exciting. We have Blues Traveler and Wallflowers, which I'm excited about. We're talking labor, so to bring a Dylan to the May Day Festival is incredible for us. We have a new venue. It's going to be at Bald Hill Amphitheater this year, which we're excited about. And Ryan, quickly, two of your affiliates are vital to the success of this endeavor, that being IOTC Local 1 and Teamsters 817, who provide the union labor on the stage, on the production of the event. Can you just tell us a little bit about those two organizations and who they represent?
They're the best at what they do. They work in film and television. They work in the theater industry. They work in live events. And there's nobody better at putting on a production of this kind. And so the fact that you, meaning AME, obviously with your support, with the support of President Dan Leveler and your entire leadership team, prioritizing and practicing what we preach on a daily basis is important, noticed, recognized, appreciated. And like I said, this is just an amazing opportunity for folks to connect the word union with their family members, their neighbors, their household, and hear some good music along the way. The only thing I would take issue with is that you said we were moving on to fun, and I thought when we were talking transportation and infrastructure, we were already having fun.
I'm always having fun when I'm in your company, Ryan, so thank you for reminding me about that. But no, May 13th is the May Day Music Festival. It's a great lineup with Blues Traveler, Wallflowers, Wheatus, John Hampson of 9 Days, who had that hit Story of a Girl. He's now a union member himself in NYSET, so we're so honored to have him be a part of the event. May 13th. Folks can find out more information at maydaymusicfestival.com. Suffolk AME is proud to host the event with the partnership with the Long Island Federation of Labor. We talked about the charitable nature of the event. And the other component that we didn't mention there is part of the event not only is a nonprofit fundraiser for those scholarships for Long Island Cares, but also we try to keep ticket prices as low as possible so that working people can enjoy the day with their families, union or not. So, you know, tickets are $39.99 for union members. General admission is less than $50 for the general public. You can't see either one of these bands for that price anywhere, and we're bringing them both plus a whole day of live music to the public. And then children 12 and under are free, absolutely free. So folks should know this is a family-friendly event. Again, maydaymusicfestival.com. Ryan, before I let you go, anything that you were hoping that we could touch on that we didn't yet today?
Nope. I would just say thank you for having me, and thank you for the wonderful partnership. AME is really just a wonderful organization to work with, and we're always excited to be chatting with you guys.
And we're proud to partner with you as well, and we're proud to represent the 10,000 Suffolk AME members. For our listeners, Ryan McGarry, Chief of Staff for AME, proudly filling in for AME President Dan Levler today. Ryan Stanton, thank you for joining us.